I feel like...
So, episode season 6, episode 7 is called Family Matters. The theme is resistance.
Well, I feel like the writing wasn't up to the same level as the previous beginning episodes. I felt like it was just kind of a little, you know, all over the place. Kind of didn't seem like they had a focus. They needed to just kind of rein it in a little bit and... A little too distracting. You know, sometimes when you add too many plot points, you lose your audience.
Right, and where was Bobby?
Where the fuck was Bobby at?
I can't reveal everything really to you, Chloe. I mean, you don't watch it?
Oh, I watched it.
You don't reveal all the secrets.
It's not a beginning episode. It's episode 7.
And where's who?
Bobby.
Bobby. Well, I mean, he's doing his thing, you know? He's doing his thing. He's being who he is. He's a complicated thing. He's complicated, Chloe. You can't just box him in.
Do you think he's hunting?
Well, like, he's always kind of on the hunt, you know what I mean? Like, it just kind of depends on what he's hunting for this time. So, I mean, I don't really trust him, but...
Hey. That's too far.
I feel like... You can't say that about John. You can't say that about Bobby.
I feel like he's got something hidden that he's not telling us yet that is going to be revealed this season.
I hate that you're probably right.
We're not going to like it.
What do you think about Sam's whole situation this episode? Not Samuel, Sam.
I like
it. Samuel.
You really like it?
I think it brings some depth and nuance to the show.
I mean,
and I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it's been
10
good.
Out of 10.
Well, thanks.
All right. Bye.
We'll call you back for the episode recap.
Okay.
There we've got it. Everything we need to know about.
Here we go. Obviously, I've never seen a single episode.
Yes, I do.
I love that I got to hear your mom just like turn on podcast voice and just BS a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so what's the vaguest thing I can say right now about the show?
What are some buzzwords?
The worst part is that it was 90% accurate.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Other than the Bobby slander.
You can't. Unbelievable.
Just no.
Not
that
impressive.
Like stressed me out. She said, I don't trust Bobby. I said,
I can't trust you.
We did that.
Hello, and welcome to Saving People, Queering Things, the supernatural podcast where my co-hosts claim they have souls, but I've never seen them. Today, we're pulling up to Season 6, Episode 7, Family Matters. I'm your host, Noah, he, him.
I'm August, pronouns they, them.
I'm Hannah, they slash all.
And I'm Theo, any pronouns or all.
And the question of the day I have for my co-host is, how would you rate Mom's little opener, her intro? Our mom summed up this episode and did a pretty bang up job of it, if we do say so myself, except for the Bobby slander. It was
unexcusable.
Yeah, I'm gonna say your mom's podcasting voice, her ability to turn on the podcasting voice like that was pretty impressive.
This
woman has done this before.
Tastefully done. You can tell she vague posts on Facebook.
Yeah. Honestly, her lack of takes on Dean's thoughts this episode was just devastating. She could have gone way into that, and she didn't. What's up with that?
She was a big fan of Sam's whole philosophical conundrum this episode, though, so that was good.
Yeah.
And she's coming for Sarah Gamble's throne, I guess. She doesn't like the writing this season.
Yeah.
I mean,
a bit late for that.
Okay.
Well, now that you've met everybody, you know us all, you know you love us. If you want to hear more about us, we'll have an extra bonus episode for the hour that we talked about beforehand. It's all good content. Great stuff. But now that you've met your host for today, it's time to catch you up. If you haven't watched Supernatural recently, here's what you've missed on the road so far. Now, Hannah, if you can convince August to take your place, or Theo, you could recap today's episode. Why? But I'll give you the floor.
God damn, it's always a goddamn timer. 30 seconds. Okay.
And this has not changed. We've been doing this for 6 seasons. This has not changed. I don't know.
You've got
why it. You're surprised by this.
Just start vague posting about Supernatural.
You nail it. Literally every time. Just say what comes to mind. You'll be
That's
fine.
That's true.
I love the depth.
First up, Hannah is going to recap the show up to this point. Are you ready?
Sure.
You're good. I'm sorry.
Hannah, you can't see Hannah's face because it's an audio-only podcast, but the face was a little bit of the fuck all of you for making me do this.
There was a really deep
I'm going to do it anyway.
The internet that going down at any point?
It's freezing up. I can't.
Bring it on, timer man.
All righty. 3, 2, 1.
Two brothers, Sam and Dean, are hunters of the supernatural. They have journeyed a lot, finding out that their father sucks ass, finding out that a demon is connected to their family. Last season, Sam went to hell. Dean at some point died. But they're both back, except Dean's the only one with the soul. Ooh. Also, there's a war breaking out. I think it's between heaven and hell. So Cass, unfortunately, is a lot more absent this season, but still around. Find out what happens in the episode.
Nice.
That was my biggest one to date. That was
To be fair, we're getting more and more out of the era of Supernatural where you
can easily explain anything.
Or where you did extensive Wikipedia deep dives back in 2013. So like we're getting out of the era where that's going to be.
Yeah, seasons 1 through 5, so potent and powerful on Tumblr.com. Seasons 6 through 8 were present, mostly because, hey, wow, Angel Dude. This is when gay shit started really popping off.
Yeah.
Socially acceptable way. And then past season 8 or 9, you could not pay me to tell you what's going on.
That's really fair. And if you know why, if you've seen all of Supernatural, you know why.
You get it.
You know why. And if you don't, then come along and you'll find out in a few seasons when we get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Speaking of getting there, now it's time for Theo's turn to recap this week's episode. Ooh, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
30 seconds on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go.
So the start of this episode is Dean and Cass finding out that Sam has no soul. So they go to Samuel, the grandpa, to see if he has a soul. He does. And go on a hunt to catch the big alpha vampire. Samuel ends up catching it to torture it for information. Turns out he's working for Crowley. There's a lot of demons up in the mix here in Samuel's group. But Dean and Sam are still working together. So we'll see how it goes.
Ooh, that was solid. You got everything you need to know.
I think a little bit of it.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. A lot of plot stuff in this episode. More than I remembered.
A lot of crossing paths, yeah.
Get some answers finally to some questions we've had at the beginning of the season.
Finally. Took them long enough.
We'll get all of Noah's thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Right after these messages. Now it's time for us to pick some music to accompany us.
Sorry.
And now it's time for Shimmy Songs with Noah, the part of the show where we pick some music to accompany us on our journey. Here's what we have this week.
I need you to know, the other day, VeggieTales came up right before Survivor Night, and
was playing on something.
Important
decision. Somehow came up in conversation.
Okay. That was important.
Tangentially. And I was like, wow, did anybody else watch VeggieTales? One of my housemates had, but nobody else in the room had. And the way that I gave them the VeggieTales lowdown, insane, and the way that they were just staring at me like this shit's not real.
I mean,
I played the Boys in the Sink cover of Bigger Than the Boogeyman. They were like, this is real.
The video,
this
was or really- just the song?
Just the song. I was okay. I don't want to include a visual media in this. But then I tried to explain the backlash against the Bunny song. And did you know VeggieTales does not have the OG version of the Bunny song anymore?
No, it's been scrubbed from the internet.
Thoroughly that happened.
Yeah. They were like, we do not want anyone to know that this existed.
I felt like I was uncovering the conspiracy.
It lives in my heart. And maybe that's the problem with it, is that it got in there, you know?
Wet.
Boom, 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 boom. That's the only mixtape song we can pick now.
If you don't know the classic Christian children vegetable-based theology show, VeggieTales, you're better off for it. We've given you no context. Just go Google some of the VeggieTales songs and have fun.
Specifically the silly songs, because I feel like that's
where it's glowed. That's where it really shines.
Barbara Manatee and the Water Buffalo song.
Oh, and the hairbrush song.
And the hairbrush.
Belly button.
Belly button was one of my faves. I mean, I feel like if you're going for the first time, the water buffalo.
Yeah,
that's it.
Water buffalo.
It's the one. Hairbrush, I feel like, is too...
Hairbrush,
It's too long, and it just focuses on, the two... And one character that you never see again. I love my lips.
I love my lips.
Fuck.
I love my lips the best to just, drop on somebody, because they get a laugh out of it every time.
Especially if you can do the long monologue. And make a direct eye contact the whole time.
There was a time when us Browse kids would just practice that in order to have it ready, like a party trick.
And you know what? Still works.
You're walking on very thin ice towards being asked to do it live on this podcast. Oh, so I'm just warning you.
It's so true.
You just said we were prepared to pull it out as a party trick. So
real too.
But here's some songs that we can pick to take us on our journey through this episode of Supernatural, not VeggieTales. August, would you like to go first?
Yeah, the song I have today is iRobot by John Bellion. Ooh. Thought it was just fitting for this whole Soulless Sam storyline that we've got going on. And it's a John Bellion song. We love a good John Bellion song here on the podcast.
What a good pick.
10 out of 10, honestly.
Thank you.
Couldn't have picked it better myself.
Same.
Theo, how about you?
So I picked, it's called Cut Corners on Short Walks by Bears and Trees. And it's really about, like, we used to be fun, dumb kids, fragile and raw. And now, like, we cut corners on short walks and light fires in car parks.
Ooh.
And there's one line, hold on. I think it's the start of the second verse that says, well, out of the flames, we reclaimed our decay and the world became a stage, completely chaotic how we played. And I was like, that's this episode. And that's Sam and Dean in this episode. And that's, oh my God. Yeah. So.
Damn, that's a good choice. Also, I have not heard of this song or this artist.
Bears and Trees is to check it out. So good.
Very excited to check them out.
Hannah, how about you?
So I've got Free Animal by Foreign Air. Foreign Air is a sick band, highly recommend. We can attest to The Apartment, which not only has a fun music video, but it's just a popping song in general.
God, I love that song so much.
Old housemate of mine is really close friends with one of the guys in the band. And so he'd come over and watch music videos with a bunch. And so his discography is something I really like. But I was trying to find a song that really, for me, hit. Like, I thought this episode had a lot of heart, but no soul personally. And so it was really like, how do I get that sort of like emptiness that I think is at the core of the episode, like that lack of satisfaction? And Free Animal, it both sort of has like the spiraling sound that I feel like resonated with the episode for me, but one of the repeating choruses is free animal, you're the only one that can calm me down. Flesh and bones won't lie, they won't lie. Free animal, my heart beats and patters to the broken sound. Free animal, you're the only one that can calm me down. Sort of hitting for me this like Soulless Sam really got a lot going on, and Dean's ability to tamper him or like be sort of the only real tether he's got.
Amen.
Yeah. That's a thematically that yeah.
I love that. Definitely gonna be listening to that one as soon as we're done here. Love their work.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Loud Magic has been on repeat in my mind for the past 3 weeks.
Oh.
All right, Noah, what do you got for us?
This week I went with So Thankful by Nako and Medicine for the People. It's sort of a bopping little ditty about being disappointed by your family history. And I feel like that sort of sums up how Dean is looking at his past, and you know, it's right in front of him disappointing him again, just like John. And I like to think that he has a better mindset about it this time. So cheers.
I do have thoughts on that. Yeah. Amen. I'm excited to listen to that one. Is that from Nako's new album?
No, actually it's from the first one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The new album also slaps. Everybody go listen to Trenches.
Go listen Nako to it right now.
People. God, it's been out for months at this time, but it's great. Now that we've got our mixtape playing, it's time for this week's hunt. Today, we're pulling up to season 6, episode 7, Family Matters. We're looking at it through the theme of resistance. Very apt theme for this week.
Yeah. Anyone have anywhere they want to start? Noah, like, how are you feeling with some of the...
A little vindicated about being confident that it's not Sam. I was upset. It's not Sam. It's not him.
Yeah.
I didn't land on somebody else possessing him because it felt almost like him, but not genuinely. Yeah. Him. So him being soulless fits. That tracks. I picked up those threads perfectly. But
yeah. I like that you were close. I think you were close with your predictions, but you hadn't quite landed there, which I was actually really grateful for. I think that was made it kind of fun.
I even threw out that maybe Crowley was involved, and he was.
He was involved.
Nailed that part. That was nice. No, this was good. This was a lot of pretty top-notch acting on Jared's part, surprisingly, but he pulled it through.
Playing this, like, I don't have a soul version of this character.
It feels like they didn't tell him until this episode.
Like, it feels like they didn't tell him until this episode.
And then he's like, oh, okay. So I'm soulless. Okay, I get it. Makes sense now. I don't know.
Get him.
It is easy to tell. That's what I do like about his acting. There's not much, but about his acting is you could tell when Sam is not Sam, even though Sam is growing throughout seasons and going through all these things and learning things. Like, you could still tell when Sam is not quite Sam.
Yeah. He doesn't have a warmth. Like, I think Sam as a character has a lot of, like, a warmth to him or
compassion.
And even when Sam is not being a particularly, like, nice person, he has a lot of anger or a lot of frustration. There's just a lot of, like, feeling. Like, the color I associate with Sam is, like, red and, like, in all of its shade. And it does not feel like that is present right now with Sam. Like, he feels very bland.
Right.
Mm. He's almost always got a bounce in his step in some way, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah. And now that's not there. There's kind of a bit of a, like, a lead foot kind of concrete sort of.
Yeah.
I love that they, not to jump to the end, but I love that they show that full circle. You know, they show him trusting Samuel completely because he's blood. But then once Dean kind of snaps him out of that and wakes him up to he's got to start thinking about his situation differently, then he starts, okay, well, let me look at the facts. And the facts of it are that Samuel betrayed us and we can't trust him. So I'm going to kill him. And Dean being the one to walk him back from was like, okay, you need to chill. You need to just...
Dean being like, okay.
Stop going 0 to 60.
There has to be something in between we don't trust him and...
We're
going to
kill
you know,
him right here.
And like murder. Like, yeah. there's got to be a range here. We got to get there. And like, right. Dean doesn't like Samuel. That's very, very clear.
Very clear. And which Sam kind of throws back in his face. Like, really? You're the one that's saying not to trust family? Like, what's this resistance to trust new family?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also some weird, like, going back on. There's a weird moment where Dean says, you can't assume that family means the same thing to him. He's talking about Samuel. That it does to us. He's not dad. Which, like, I'm sorry. What did family mean to John Winchester?
Right. What? In what way is he not dad? Because I'm pretty sure if he's not dad, that's like a better guy.
Typically a positive. Typical.
Yeah. And also, like, do you want Samuel to have, because Samuel actually seems remarkably like John in the way that he is mm-hmm. addressing family.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping secret, barking orders, expecting allegiance without information.
Mm.
Hallmarks of John Winchester's parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's happening with Dean. That feels like a little bit of a writing misfire, because we've seen Dean kind of move past this, like, allegiance to John's memory.
Yeah. It felt almost like he was throwing that out for Sam, you know, like he doesn't believe that it applies for him anymore, but he knows that Sam's perception of dad or of John was different, having run away to college and all that. And so
interesting.
I think that's a really good point, because Dean saving Samuel at the end really did not hit for me. I was like, that I would expect Dean. I thought, and I think this is the point of the cinematography, when you see the cocked gun and then you see that it's Sam, it's a jarring moment, because you're like, holy shit, I would expect that to be Dean. I wouldn't expect Sam to be doing this.
Yeah. So then we've been leading toward its Dean.
Then Dean being the one to put it down, right? Taking Sam's role for him while he's not there to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He sees that Sam doesn't have the heart to be the person that pulls Dean back. So he has to teach Sam to be pulled back. Beautiful.
Yeah. Which is like a good, like, cool role reversal, and also makes sense with their character arcs at this point in the story.
Tracks so well.
Like, it makes sense that Sam is more betrayed. Like, Dean doesn't feel betrayed by Samuel. He doesn't like Samuel, but he has no, like, Samuel hasn't done anything wrong. Since the moment that he met Samuel at the beginning of the season, there's been a mistrust and there's been a lot of jabs, and Samuel doesn't have a lot of respect for Dean and all these things. Whereas, like, Sam has been aligned with Samuel. And so, like, Sam being betrayed, which is very interesting that he is, like, acting out of this sort of, like, this turn and this trail without a soul. It's just, it's very interesting.
Yeah. The resistance of, like, of Sam soulless and still being, like, on the hunt, on the job, fully in it, but the resistance to Dean every time that Dean is like, what are you doing? Like, are you thinking about this? Like, are you thinking about this? And Sam's like, shut up. Of course I'm thinking about it. And he's like, no, but like, actually, that, like, the resistance between Sam trying so hard to be like, I'm my own person, even though I don't have a soul, like, I'm still a good person, and Dean being like, I'm trying so hard not to pummel you right now, but like,
well, again, he did last episode, like,
he did,
because 100% with the aftermath of Dean being like, I am so done, and now I have confirmation that this is not Sam,
not just in my head, like,
it's once that he realizes that it's not Sam Sam's fault that he's different. You know, he's still trying to be good. He just can't tell what that is, you know?
Right.
So he needs a guiding light.
It's a different kind of mistrust than the mistrust he's had the rest of the season, where it's been like, I don't trust you because I don't think you're Sam.
Right. Mm.
And I think you might have nefarious like intentions. Whereas now it's like, oh, I think your intentions are fine. You just like don't have a more like it's almost like there's like with a, there's no
moral compass to like guide him. Yeah.
Yeah. Or and no less impulse control.
Yeah. And no like, instinct either. No gut feelings. So he can't follow that.
Isn't that something that was thrown in his face?
Yeah.
Dean calls him out on that specifically.
Yeah.
It's like, and hey. Dean relies on his gut feeling a lot in hunting. Like we've seen that. And we've seen Dean's gut feeling, like, it's really interesting of the narrative where, like, Dean's gut feeling is usually right. And, like, you start paying attention to it throughout the show. And it's kind of a narrative choice of, like, usually Dean's gut feeling is right. And sometimes nobody listens to him. And, like, it's not always, like, justified gut feeling. Like, sometimes it's just, like, he has a gut feeling and there's no, like, good reason for it. But he's proven to be right later on. And so it's interesting he throws that at Sam and goes, like, you don't have this instinct. You don't have the ability to just, like, sense what's happening in the situation.
Which is interesting.
An interesting thread in terms of family for that to be what is also sticking out to him now that he knows Sam doesn't have a soul. What he's going to throw in his face is you don't have a hunt instinct anymore. Your gut isn't working.
Uh-huh. Especially since when Sam came back, like one of the first things said to Sam, to Dean, was like, I'm a better hunter now. Like he's prided himself on his hunting ability in this past year.
Bobby even throws that in Dean's face in the last episode. He says, Sam's even a better hunter than you right now. Like not always, but like at least right now.
Right.
He's doing better.
No emotion holding him back. He's just a monster. He's a machine. Get it?
Yeah. Which like, I mean, the idea of like a better hunter being one with less of a moral compass and less of a soul is concerning.
Yeah.
Concerning.
It all depends on the context you're looking at it in, you know, if you're looking at number of lives saved, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I would trust Bobby to tell if that was a good upgrade or not, but also like Bobby being like, yeah, something's up, but I mean, he's still a damn good worker, but like,
I don't trust it.
Cost.
But like, yeah, well, yeah, at what cost? Because again, like, he needs Dean. Dean is the one that pulls him back from like making some pretty bad calls in this episode. But is Sam like Sam's like a very effective hunter without a soul, but he lacks like the even any internal sense of like resistance. Like, when thinking about the theme of resistance, like, Sam lacks any like Samuel. They find out that Samuel's betrayed them, and he's immediately like, okay, that means we should kill him. And there's no like sense of internal like conflict. He's just like, okay,
right, okay, not on that path. Switch.
Last season, Sam would have been like, okay, how can we use this? How can we talk to him and get him to come see our side and like appeal to his emotions? Nope, not anymore.
Oh, no.
Kind of dig it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting because I was noticing a lot. I haven't watched the beginning of season 6 in ages, but watching this episode specifically, like, Sam can tell pretty often when people are lying. Like, he's just really good. That his instinct for when people are lying to him is incredibly spot on. And the way that in the past, I feel like he's used that to like just take a note of it and then come back around to it later. But this episode, he's very much like, Samuel, like, you found out where the alpha is hidden out, isn't it? Like, you want to know where purgatory is, don't you? Like seeing that shift in somebody's face and being like, oh, they have this information, I'm going to ask them about it because that's what you do. And like Dean every time being like, so interesting.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I do love it.
That is a really good observation of Sam in general. Like, soulless or not, he's
always has a good insight role. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Something that I've been talking about, some mad shit about Samuel recently, is that he's got all this family, all of these connections, all of these hunter connections across the country, at least, and they don't share, you know, life-saving vampire cure tips to any other hunters outside of that. But in this episode, it's revealed that a lot of those family members were possessed by demons ages ago. So it would make sense that they're not trying to sell all their, or share all their secrets about vampires. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's now, well, yeah, because now we can go back and look at the rest of the season so far and go, oh, all of these hunters being giant dicks. is also maybe a little bit demonic possession influenced.
Maybe. Yeah. Hopefully.
Like, other than Samuel. Samuel doesn't get a pass. I mean, yeah. No passes.
He's just a
hope. I don't want to give Christian any passes either. No, I don't either. I literally marked in my notes that he's going to die as soon as possible. They're making him even worse in this episode. Please, please. But no, it's just a demon form. So maybe he'll die later on. But
yeah, there's a lot more of like, and I'd forgotten about the demonic possession piece. This whole season, I'd forgotten. Like, I remembered the Crowley piece, but I had not remembered the like specifics of like some of these hunters were possessed. So just like really, I have a lot of notes here in my list of like just really disliking these hunters. There's more of them like underestimating Dean as a hunter. There's more jabs at Lisa and his life with Lisa.
Oh my God. Yeah.
There's also just full on threat. There's also just like a full on like, well, accidents happen. Like, they pair him with Gwen. They pair him with the female character.
I thought that was also interesting. Like, obviously the possessed like hunters are gonna go and get the alpha vampire and take it away, but also like Gwen being the only one besides Samuel to not be possessed and to like be so like snarky towards Dean the whole time, and then at the end be like, oh no, wait, Samuel, I thought that was really interesting.
The person she can trust in that moment is Dean in the most, the person who's betrayed her the least at that point is Dean.
Because Dean hasn't been hiding anything, and Dean doesn't have anything to hide in this situation.
Except for that time when he just disappeared from his post and then came back, and she was like, well, you know what? I'll cover for you. I guess. Heart sees
like,
heart.
How would Samuel not realize, if he's such a great hunter, how has he not realized any of his folks are possessed? Like, do they not handle holy water? Do
Where are the devil's traps in their house? Why would you not have devil's traps in your house if you were a hunting family?
At least by the door.
And if they're like, don't need those, like, why wouldn't you be suspicious of that?
Or are they marked? Because, you know, we often see, like demons or, like, characters, like drawn. So I'm like, we're not checking the traps. We're not great.
What if he's just like, okay, so y'all do that, set up the house, and they're like, yeah, we got it. We did it in invisible ink.
Glow in the dark paint.
Stop.
Do you think he bought it?
Samuel's like, what is that? They've invented that? Okay, I mean, damn.
They do say he thinks Velcro is new technology. So it would make sense if they're like, this is a high-tech stuff. They probably had a blast pulling that.
They're like, Samuel, we put a technological one. Like, don't worry about it. You can't see it.
It's an automatic devil's trap. You just press this button right here, and it's a microwave, but he thinks it's a devil's trap.
Crowley's just like invisible watching, just like pissing himself laughing at how easy it is. Okay, but interesting enough, like Samuel and Sam both got brought back from the dead, but Samuel does have a soul and Sam doesn't.
Mm.
I think, I mean, that's obviously on purpose because Crowley knows that he needs leverage on the boys because that's a great piece of leverage, like a core piece of your being. Yeah, it's fair.
Well, and says it's like, they say at the top of the episode that it's like probably still
in the cage
with Lucifer and Michael.
And if the soul is being tied to Sam's instinct, like they're handicapping Sam in one way that's gonna make him a better person and more of a Winchester, but also amplifying everything about him that makes him useful.
Which sounds very familiar to like season two. Like,
yeah,
Sam's already been through an arc like this of like, let's feed him demon blood and give him psychic powers,
see what happens,
and it'll, like, his humanity sort of gets muddled.
They didn't have to call Dean the reject, but they did. And that was a little unnecessary.
Gwen did. Basically, Gwen. That's so funny. Yeah.
Dean was on fire with his references today. He was throwing out psychic bat signal while talking with a vampire. Yeah. Okay. Great call.
We'll have a good Batman reference.
If the old man's Kermit, his hand is up his ass, good. Putting jaws in a fishbowl, beautiful.
Yeah.
I think a vampire at one point, he called Fright Night. I don't know if that's a reference to something specific, but I was like, that's such a choice of words.
Maybe Fright Night?
Yeah.
I dated Claire for 3 years.
Fright Night. Did you know? Where was that jump? I love the ADHD thing, but these dots are not connected.
Hang on, I gotta Google something. I gotta make sure this is right.
I'm also doing a bit of a background.
Like, I assume it's like a high school or like school, public school. Like,
no, I'm so right for this.
Yeah. Oh no, you are absolutely right.
I got a trap in a group chat.
Yes. Okay. No, you're right, because that was what I also thought.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
He also references John Wayne.
There's also a RoboCop reference. He calls Sam RoboSam. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which is very funny.
Okay. Hit reality. I keep saying hit reality TV show because I'm just used to introducing people to Survivor.
Yes.
But top actor Colin Farrell.
Icon.
Was in a 2011 remake of the horror movie Fright Night. And the reason I know about this is because I dated somebody for 3 years. No, I'm lying to you. Oh my God. Claire, I hope you don't listen to this. I dated somebody for 2 years. whose ex that they were living with and also one of their best friends was obsessed with this movie. I'm not joking when I say that I've seen it upwards of 3 times and I was not.
Have you seen the 80s version or the 2011 version?
The 2011 version.
Okay.
Because every 30 seconds we had to hear about how bad they wanted to fuck Colin Farrell in this movie. Endless amounts. Like, I cannot tell how many times I've seen this movie or heard about it. I just trashed Theo in a group chat where they're going to get dunked on. Cannot describe how that's going to go. The way Fright Night lives in my brain. That's it. That's the only reference I have to add to this is Fright Night, cult classic, is a, oh my God, I want to say a vampire. It's the one where
it's a vampire.
Sexy trash. He's like a trash rock star.
Colin with
like
Farrell's a big smile. High school senior.
It's a kid discovering that their neighbor's a vampire.
He's Anton Yelchin plays the high school senior.
Oh,
Anton Yelchin, Colin Farrell, David Tennant are all in this movie.
It's
I don't know about the old one. I'm sure it's fine.
The old one?
It also takes place in Albuquerque.
No.
I don't think it actually does in the movie. It might in the movie, actually, but it is all filmed in Albuquerque, like out Rio Rancho. Cannot describe.
I have never seen this movie. I do know of it, but I've never actually seen it. But Tom this is selling it, honestly. That cast list is selling it for me.
It is?
Yeah, same.
Okay.
I believe that. That's what I would expect from it.
The panic I felt is I opened Google and searched up Fright Night and the 1985 version, and I scroll down and it says director and screenplay Tom Holland.
Yeah.
And I was like,
wrong, different Tom.
No, it's a different guy.
1985 Tom Holland that you're thinking of, Spider-Man Tom Holland. How old was he in 1985?
Not one.
Like, not
infant.
You didn't say Dave Franco was in it too.
Tom Holland was not alive in 1985 because Tom Holland is younger than I am.
So that was a scary moment. I was like, I don't think I trust a movie written and directed by Tom Holland, but sure, okay. I'm back. Okay, so Fright Night was a reference.
There's also a reference to Seinfeld. Oof. There is the iconic quote from Cass where he says, "My true form is approximately the size of your Chrysler building."
Icon.
Up in every fan vid.
Right, because there's not a more powerful why. Like, that's so sick.
I did also very much love the line, "Recap it for our wingman." It was very good.
That was so good.
Also the line, "One more time, like I'm 5.
Yeah, one more time, like I'm 5.
That felt like so psych quote.
Yeah.
Also a Legoland reference, like the vampires going,
"Where do vampires go?
Where do we go? Not heaven, not hell." And Dean goes, "Legoland."
She's like an icon.
Dean's keeping up with his pop culture references, honestly.
Yeah, and I like that the vampires' pop culture references were Dante's Inferno.
It was so good.
Yeah, we get the Legoland and the Dante's Inferno reference like back to back. Charlie's Angels.
And it's a pretty intimidating line to be like, "When your kind first huddled around fire, I was the monster." Ooh. In the dark. Like, okay, yeah, that's
Let's can we lead that right into our lore check right now?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So get this. Yeah, big lore.
Big lore. Big mega lore. We got fucking purgatory confirmed.
Purgatory. Big.
Did you? Is this something you knew?
No, I mean, I knew that they were going to get to there. Yeah. No, I mean,
you can't have a heaven and hell fight, not purgatory.
You can't not talk about purgatory when you have 15 seasons of television.
I feel like we had a conversation. I don't remember what episode it was. It was a recent episode where we talked about, like, where do monsters go when they die? And I was like, being like, we're going to know.
We're going to know soon.
I'm not going to say anything, because you're gonna know in like 3 episodes.
The episodes where they're going up to heaven and they're hopping realities and hopping over, and I was like, why can't Ash find any of these monster people? Like, huh, he could totally have found them. Yeah, that's because they're not there.
The excitement in my body knowing what's coming with that.
Good.
Yeah,
also wanted everyone to know I tagged in this group chat the person who was most obsessed. I tagged my most obsessed people in this group chat, and they have given no description, no nothing, but dropped in a row three on demand Colin Farrell thirst traps from
like
Hit
within 11. Seconds.
Within seconds.
Maybe
three thirst traps. Look
we
at
will
him.
We will drop
hey,
these.
You don't have to get me sold on Colin Farrell. I'm there.
We'll if we remember when this episode comes out, we'll drop some Colin Farrell on the Twitter.
Scroll down.
If Twitter exists. Who knows? We'll find out.
Colin Farrell thirst traps are never far away. That's the point. Just ask.
Yeah, we'll make that happen for you.
Crowley is kind of looking at Purgatory and saying, that's some free real estate right there.
Crowley, who is now not just a Crossroads demon.
I think we had confirmed that he was King of Hell a few episodes ago.
But now we really...
We've seen the impact of his control over a huge sense. He had so many demons infiltrating Samuel for how long? Gah, forever.
Yeah, ages has got to be some amount of time in demon headset.
He can claim King of Hell all that he wants, but we all know the real rulers of Hell are Glenn Close and Jodie Foster. So
we've been new.
It's okay. He can try, but he's not King of the Hell.
Right.
But you're just dropping spoilers in front of Baby Ears August.
You know what?
Baby Ears Bad Key's right here.
August, if you ever get there, you'll forget about it by then.
It's okay. I'm not gonna remember. My brain's a sieve. It will go right through.
Sorry.
It's nothing sticking. It's not sticking. Not at this point on a Tuesday.
yeah, mood. Was this the first time that we've heard of or seen Alpha Vampire? Because I know last episode and like previous, they've been hunting towards the Alpha Vampire.
When Dean went undercover, quote unquote, got turned vampire, he interacted with the leader vampire who was a direct descendant of the Alpha, supposedly, and had like flash, a premonition of
the Alpha. Because we saw that in this episode.
Yeah, with the twins and the vein and all that. So this was just kind of harping on that.
Okay. So was this the first time that a vampire is like, well, we all had a mother, like that bit of lore,
that he was
like
born as a vampire and not
born.
Turn.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the first of those new. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had so many questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Came first, the chicken or the egg, the vampire or the bite?
The vampire.
Confirmed.
The vampire. The answer to that.
Does that mean this fucked up kid was born and was like, I really need a chomp?
I mean, kids all the time.
We train
them out of vampirism.
That's just every child.
Like, I need to bite.
And some adults, too. They like to bite.
Well, that's the adult. Anyway, that's...
People can do what they want in their own
Not
privacy.
A BDSM podcast.
The eyebrows that were all raised at the camera just there. It was
18 plus version of our podcast. We're earning that rating today.
Absolutely. I really liked Dean's indignation. Like, we can't work for Crowley. Sir, where are you getting your W-2s from? You do not have a job. This is better than nothing. It's getting you your son, your brother's soul back. Like, what?
What else? Like, I get it. You don't want to work with Crowley.
At least he's given you, like, benefits out of every deal you've gotten. Bobby can walk again. Bobby's
Take
alive
the
again.
Job.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
That's true. This is someone with maybe the best shot at if Sam's soul is in the cage and maybe getting it. Yeah. Seems like the King of Hell might be helpful. But also makes sense that they're a little shy of trusting Crowley.
They're a little, you could say, resistant.
That was pretty good. I'm gonna give it to you.
Yeah. Fun kind of behind the scenes thing. Mark Shepard, Crowley, requested that he wasn't listed in the opening credits so that they could keep the reveal part, because the reveal's so late in the episode. That was actually something that the director revealed in an interview.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of fun.
Shows he's humble as hell. He loves the story. I love that.
I mean, Mark Shepard.
Icon. I'll never not celebrate him.
Yeah.
I was confused this episode because from what I remember of supernatural lore, electricity wouldn't hurt vampires, right?
Yeah, you are correct.
Why would Samuel, why was that his, why?
I don't think it would cause damage, but there's nothing to say that like it wouldn't cause physical pain, just like it wouldn't it wouldn't have any like lasting damage, the electricity, because right. that's not how you kill a vampire.
Yeah.
That's my thought. I don't know if anyone else.
It just threw me off, kept being like, oh yeah, I'm throwing the switch. And I was like, are you sure that's doing anything?
He's not flinching.
Again, it's not really, doesn't appear to really be doing a whole lot. But also yeah. he's working for Crowley. Like, Sam is working for Crowley. Like,
right. Maybe he knows
things we
don't. I don't
know why he's being put in charge of the torture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And interrogation. Like, when Crowley.
You have the king of hell. Right there.
Seems like might be better at getting information out of like an alpha vampire.
Yeah.
That is weird. Didn't think about that. Huh?
Yeah.
When Dean says the like, why don't you recap it for a wingman? And Samuel looks over and Cass is there. And Samuel goes, oh, are you Castiel?
Yeah.
You're scrawnier than I imagined or than I pictured. And I was like, who's been talking? Who's been spilling sweet nothings about Cass?
Who's been describing this? Not the first time, nor will it be the last time that someone looks at Cass, meets Cass, and is like, thought you'd be different adjective to the way you were described.
And it's always a sexier adjective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of Castiel, I just got a text from Misha Collins. So I'm pretty cool.
What?
Okay, yeah, no biggie. But anyway, another thing I noticed about that scene with Cass and Samuel. Samuel L. Jackson. Damn. No, with Samuel and Cass, when Cass leaves and he says, would have asked him to stick around for a beer. Why? Because you're trying to protect your prospective grandson, trying to bond with him a little bit, make sure he's right for your dean. I think that's what he's picking up there.
I thought that was a weirdly like.
That's a pointed like, oh, well, he seemed cool. I would have asked him to stick for a beer if he didn't have to leave. Sorry. You know, like that's.
Yeah.
That's
the
vibe.
Are you sure he can't
stay
for dinner?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
It was really cute.
And especially the cut from when he says you're scrawnier than I pictured and it cuts to Dean like.
Like,
huh?
Don't fucking tell him. What part of my description said scrawny?
Yeah.
I said rippling muscles. What are you talking about?
Also, Dean, like, says, you know, Dean's talking and he's like, okay, we gotta, like, figure out. Now we know Sam's soul is gone. We gotta figure out how to get it back. And then Cass, like, deadpans. Yes, of course, Dean, your problems always come first. Which, to be fair, last season, that was kind of true. Right? Yeah. Cass was like, yeah, I will drop all of heaven's plans
for
this man. So Dean's like, I kind of assumed that was our deal.
With our track record that you've established, this is not out of left field. I don't know what you're talking about.
Cass is just like, absolutely, like, no. And then
it's gone. He's just gone.
He's just gone. He's gone the whole rest of the episode. He's like, no, I got things in heaven too.
Can't wait till we get to know more about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that. We will get to that.
I'm a sucker for any time in media when they do the, yes, Samuel, I trust you because I'm the one that trusts you, okay? And I know you don't trust me, but it's fine because I trust you. And then jump cut, I don't trust that motherfucker. He could die in hell. Like, beautiful, beautiful. It was very good.
Yeah, I do like the back and forth this episode between Sam and Dean is obviously like a main source of everything in this episode. But I have just a few of like back and forths written down because it was so hard hitting because near the beginning when Sam's like, it's still me. And Dean's like, is it? Mm-hmm. And there's like, yes. And then later.
Sam's so like blank faced. Like, I don't know, like, what you mean, Dean.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I'm just going to murder our grandpa.
Yeah. And then later when Dean's like, you don't have that instinct anymore. And Sam goes, oh. And Dean goes, oh. Like, oh my God, you guys.
Big sibling energy right there.
When Sam's talking to the alpha vampire and he's like, you're the one in the cage. Sir, we just established your soul is probably in the cage. Please do not.
Sam doesn't get to talk about anyone being in a cage.
No, he does not.
Until his soul is out of the cage.
Ooh, also Sam keeping Samuel's secret from Dean and then saying, like, that was my choice because I knew you'd mess this up for us. And Dean's like, no, I won't. He's like, yeah, you'd kill him first and we need to ask questions. And he's like, oh, yeah.
And then Sam being the one to point the gun at Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is the full circle piece.
Yeah,
like Sam, and this is like a theme with Sam. Like, Sam likes to think, I think sometimes that he has the moral high ground over Dean. Like, he likes to think that he thinks things through and doesn't act impulsively because Dean puts on this big front of like acting impulsively. And like, Dean does act impulsively, but Sam also acts impulsively. And without a soul, he does that even more.
Yeah.
And with less emotion to guide him. So it's rough.
Yeah.
Dean at least has his gut.
There is a kind of chilling moment that I thought was kind of important character-wise for Sam. It when at the beginning, once they find out his soul is gone and they're going like, Dean's like, we're not letting you leave this room. Oh. And Sam is like,
I didn't want it to come to this. But
and then says, you are not going to hold me, Dean. Not here, not in a panic room, not anywhere. Which is a, you know, season 4 callback.
I thought that was a big,
like Sam being like, no, right. I don't care what's wrong with me. You're not locking me up.
Yeah. You've tried this before. We've tried it. That didn't work out. This is no different. And Dean's like, you don't have a soul. And he's like, it's no different.
Which honestly, you know what? I like that moment for Sam because
it shows that he's really trying to respect Dean in this moment. Like as much as crazy stuff is going on, he's like, hey, I do care about you and I don't want you to feel like I'm just standing up, but here I am. I got to do it anyway. Sorry.
But also I'm not going to like let you lock me up inhumanely again, because like the whole situation in the panic room, like, yes, Dean and Bobby didn't think they had another option. Was it a good option? Also, no.
Oh, very much so.
So, like, I can see Sam, like, it's interesting because Sam doesn't have a soul, but he's, like, that's a very emotional sort of statement.
Right.
To, like, call back to that moment in season 4 with the demon blood detox.
Specifically, like, hey, you remember this? Do you remember when you did that? This isn't that.
And he directs it at Dean. Like, Dean and Cass are both there, but he directs it at Dean, even though, like, Cass is the one, realistically, with way Cass more, like, probably actual power.
Somewhere. But
yeah, right.
That's not what he's going for in this moment.
Yeah.
Which is good. Sam endured a lot of harsh words this episode, and I'm a little glad that he didn't have the soul to feel it as much.
That's fair.
Which, I mean, it begs a lot of questions about, like, what can he feel? What's the role of emotions when you don't have a soul?
Like it's kind less of said. On the emotions and it's more on like logical deductions from something like, oh, if you're saying that to me, it must mean you don't like me, or you know, you don't trust me in the same way. So he's like, well, I'm saddened by that, I guess, but I don't know.
It's like it's all reaction and not like emotion.
Right. It can't sink very deep.
Yeah.
Also, he doesn't sleep.
Yeah. He hasn't slept for the past year and a half ish. Like that's
fucked up. I'm being like, yeah, I just didn't mention it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, revenge behavior.
Today we could have been, yeah.
Like I would have Dean's reaction there, being like, and you didn't think that was an important like piece of information?
It's one thing sleeping? If you go a week and it's like, wow, right. I haven't slept all week. That's a little
kind of odd.
You go a month and you haven't said anything. Oh my god.
I'm like, I'm sorry, but if you go without sleep for that long, you die. So
if you're human.
I'm just picturing like, what did he do with that time?
That's what I'm picturing Dean thinking, like, of all the times in the past year he stopped at a motel to spend the night before driving the next morning and being like, Sam could have fucking driven that whole night.
Well, it's not been that long that they've been together, but yeah, like in all that time, like Sam's been faking. Like, what's Sam been doing when they've been at a motel?
Laying down, keeping his eyes closed.
Laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, laying in bed with his eyes closed, just thinking.
On rest mode.
Fucked up.
Hopping up, trying to be quiet and respectful. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Splitting the driving because that's what they do. And Sam is calculated and is not, this is not like he just didn't think to tell Dean.
Right.
He like chose not to tell Dean because he knew Dean would be like, that's something's up.
Like something's up.
If Dean woke up every morning and Sam was like researching stuff, that'd be suspicious as hell. But he could just be sitting there all night, like trying to figure out more ways to hunt stuff. I don't know.
Or that's when he's meeting with Samuel. Like that's when he's,
Right.
And then every time Dean wants to go see Samuel during the day, Samuel's tired. He's taking a nap, actually. I don't know why. His sleep schedule is really fucked up. Some new hunt.
Maybe he's
on.
A vampire.
Oh, shit. Wait, it went too far. It went too full circle. I went too deep in the lie. Let me back it up a little bit.
I mean, maybe he's working for... Never mind.
So I haven't been sleeping.
I really liked when, after the vampire raid and that all goes badly. First, I want to bring up the CGI blood that was in that off the vampire head scene made me lose my mind laughing. That looked
painful.
Like static red goo was just splattered onto the screen. Uh-huh. It was so funny.
A little rough.
Oh my god, it was so funny. The whole like roll. Oh my god.
I couldn't take my eyes off the blood. They wanted me to look at the body, but I was just...
I did not look at the body. I was just like gobsmacked at the blood. It's so funny. But after the raid and Dean and Sam are driving back and Dean pulls over to be like, what the hell? And he's like shouting at Sam, but then like talking with Sam, and Sam's giving it back and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And Dean says the something of like us sticking together, like nobody's making you sick with me, but like we have to do this, and like da da da. And then it cuts to Sam showing up at Samuel's alone and being like, yeah, we parted ways because we couldn't split the difference. Like that was such a good choice of showing how Sam can still play on this instinct and play people and still have a goal to work towards, but like in this way of a soulless, like, okay, I'm gonna go to grandpa now and be like, all right, put me in, boss, like I'm ready to torture, I'm ready to get crazy with it. And then Samuel's like, no, actually I want you to stay where you are. And Sam's like, oh my god, I did not think he would say that. And then like leaving and cut. I also really liked when he got back, it was like, I went to plan B, and Dean's like, we had a plan B, nobody told me. What?
Sam's like, I am 5 steps ahead, I am masterminding the situation.
He's on top of it.
Yeah, that was a really good turn of like Dean being like, if we can't work together then this isn't gonna work out, and Sam supposedly leaving him to go work with Samuel, and Samuel saying like, we can't work on the same level, like not right now, and Sam being like, oh okay, and then actually still being with Dean and like working mm-hmm. that out. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really good kind of like circular roundabout. You left where you came from and then you go right back there.
I think it shows the difference between Samuel and Dean really strongly, because Dean, even when he didn't trust Sam and he couldn't handle not knowing the truth about what Sam was doing, he still cared about him and wanted to know the truth and was trying to fight for it. Samuel is just pushing him away and saying, I can't handle that. You just do your thing and I'll be over here. And so it Sam had already made the choice to side with Dean, but it really reinforces that decision, because he's like, oh, okay, I see. Dean's over here giving me chance after chance. Samuel was like, one and done. I can't deal with that. I like that.
Yeah, I like it. I do want to say just that the final two shots of Sam and Dean, where Sam asked, are you with me, Dean? And it cuts to Dean just looking so lost and so like, of course I am, but oh my God, what am I gonna have to do? And the lighting is like so drastic and it just looks so powerful. Like the rest of the episode, I was like, okay, cinematography, lighting, that's fine. But that last like minute was just like, ooh, get it.
They're like making an effect for to make a point.
Yes.
Like Dean is like, yeah, Sam's with me.
Yeah.
And is that a good thing? Question mark.
The freaking film student of like the light and the dark on both sides, the contrast on his face, the fighting inside. Yeah. Gets me every time.
I would like to say that this has been on my calendar for a minute. I still forgot that to watch the episode beforehand. So I finished therapy at 7. Then I was like, well, or like 6:50. I finished therapy like 40 to 30 minutes before this episode. And I was like, okay, I have to watch Supernatural, but I did not have time to watch Supernatural. So I watched it on 1.5 times speed.
Icon.
And I, 1, still good. 2, I do not think I've had a more amusing Supernatural experience than this episode on 1.5 times speed. I was like, the pace of this is really, oh, right. I did
oh, right. Oh, right.
Why are these action scenes so sick? Oh.
I'm enhancing them. Supernatural could actually be 25 minutes.
And be better.
It's crisp. Let me tell you. And I was like, this band, like, oh my God, the dialogue is so tight.
So witty.
And retroactively thinking about that slower, I was like, oh, didn't need it.
Yeah, that's valid, actually.
Fair.
I got to try that next time.
Hot tip, Supernatural improves when you watch it on 1.5 speed.
It improves 1.5 times.
Seems 1. Like a pretty significant improvement, actually.
That's not bad.
1.5 to 0. Multiply the 0% percent enjoyability of Supernatural.
No. I wouldn't still miss if it was 0.
Yeah, I would be. Yeah, yeah, we're not hate watching.
No,
but just some moments we are hate watching. We're not. Yeah,
I feel like it's pretty clear which episodes we end up hate watching, and it's like this episode fucking sucks.
And you can only tell after you watch the episode for Noah specifically.
Yeah,
yes, that's true. First time watchers.
Swear to God, if the next episode is disappointing, it's titled "All Dogs Go to Heaven." It can't that bad.
Even you. I'm not gonna say anything.
Wait. We'll get to the predictions part later, because I do have a thought about that.
Okay, but I do want to hear your predictions about that.
now it's time for us to hit our final and favorite section of the episode, character blessings. Who would you guys like to bless this week? Hannah, did you want to go first?
The first, I've just been thinking about purgatory for like 15 minutes.
Oh, and okay.
So
any thoughts you want to share with the class?
None that are applicable for this episode. So I'm
going to think. That is fair.
Bless Gwen.
Yeah. Gwen.
I wish her well. Shit situation. But I think it's funny that she was like one of the only people not demonized or dead. So I really have to pulse through this one, my guy.
Yeah.
Women's rights.
But more importantly, they're wrong.
Women's wrong. Let Gwen go and be
fucked up in fun new ways.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So far away from Samuel Campbell.
Please.
Yeah.
Theo, how about you?
So I don't have a specific character. I just have a moment because it was a very family moment, but very specifically a Hunter family moment when after Sam and Dean have broken in to talk to the alpha vampire and Samuel finds them and they walk out and leave that one guy as a guard and they have like guns pulled on each other and Dean's like caught in this position of trying to load his gun with a gun on him by Gwen, and so he like stands up, they drop all their weapons, and then there's gunshot and screaming and Samuel immediately is like, oh, forget about it, grab your weapons, and they all like forget immediately, and Sam and Dean scramble to like pick up their shit off the ground and run to go help. It's so good.
I do love that moment so much because it plays really well. Like they're all okay, well, you got us, and then the guy dies, and then it cuts back to them, and they're not saying anything. They're all just like, and we've been standing here since then. So
and here we go.
It is like that. It's like that moment when you're like, if you're like fighting with siblings, and suddenly your parents are there, and you're like, oh shit, actually. Now we're on the same side again.
Actually, we have a common goal. Put this back.
Common goal, survive.
Literally. That was just like that. I had to skip back and rewatch it because I was laughing so hard. It's so like Dean scrambled to pick up his machete and his gun and his salt. And it's
I'm very curious about how much of that it was like intentionally choreographed and how much of that is just like, Jensen, you need to pick up all this shit. We don't really care how you do it.
Just pick it up and go.
And it looks funny. Yeah. It's great.
August, how about you?
I'm gonna bless Dean today because, again, the narrative has put him in a position where doesn't have any support again, and he's responsible for the whole situation and doesn't really have anyone he can trust, and even Sam, who he's supposed to be able to trust, like can't really trust, as evidenced by that last scene. So a blessing for him. This has not been his season so far.
Damn, it really hasn't.
Hopefully it gets better. Hopefully, you know, Cass stops fucking off to wherever he's fucking off to.
God,
yeah, that is where he's fucking off to.
I'm gonna bless Crowley because I really love him in general, and I want to see what he's scheming and what he's up to. And I really love whenever Dean said, how long have you had these people here, or something like that, you know, like, you've had people in the camp, and he's like, oh yeah, today's Friday, since mind your own business. That was good. I love Crowley, so blessings to Crowley.
Real.
And just like that, we've made it to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for coming on, Hannah and Theo. It was an absolute blast, as always. Is there anything that you guys would like to plug? Anything coming up that a little hard to guess when, but...
No, nothing on my end.
Tax return.
My friends and I saw this sign for the Virginia lottery. It was like a neon sign, some gas station. And instead of like just going like this, like crossing your fingers, I had the thumb out.
Oh.
We're like, who the fuck is crossing their fingers like this? So now that's our like shorthand.
That's your fucked up little gun.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like... I'm shooting wishes, shooting hexes at all y'all, motherfuckers.
This is my revolver.
Every time I shoot, it breaks a knuckle. Oh.
Well, thank you both for being here. This is always an episode every season where we bring the siblings on. Sam was not able to join us today, sadly.
Sam, we miss you. There would have been three Sams to talk about this episode.
Maybe next season we get more of the Brow siblings on.
I think we could get more of both sibling sets. Mm. We get see how many siblings we can collect. I think we could get, I think one of my other siblings I could probably convince to come on.
Hell yes.
So we'll see. Maybe next time we'll...
You know, we've done an episode with 10 people on it before. So we can just push it. We can get as many as we want.
So, well, I mean, if we got all... I mean, yeah.
If we got everybody.
If we got all the siblings, that it would... Yeah, we would be getting up there. We got some big families. Yeah. all of us. But for now, thanks for being here. And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening and this is your first time listening, you can subscribe to this show, Saving People, Queering Things, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Also out now, Queering People, Saving Throws. Our main crew, along with KJ of Supernatural Opinions, taking a dive into a queer D&D adventure, releasing every other Friday right here on our feed.
And if you liked what you heard, maybe share it with a friend. You can also join our free Discord server, find links to our social media, and catch up on all of the latest season mixtapes. And all of that is at our website, queeringthingspodcast.com.
Be sure to ride along with us next week as we explore Season 6, Episode 8, All Dogs Go to Heaven, through the theme of human nature. Just a little note, my little prediction is that it's going to be something about the purgatory lore that we discovered, because, I mean, monsters dying and where do they go? All dogs go to heaven. It's gotta be. And if it's not, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Thank you all for coming along for the ride.
We wish you a peaceful road until we meet again.
There it is. Big Dick Jerry just dropped.
Big Dick Jerry.
That's where I'm gonna stop the recording.